Hello, and welcome to this live recording from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church, this time from Pastor Nick Scott. So sit back, listen in, and enjoy what God's got to say to you.
Yeah, one of the things we believe the Lord's speaking to us about is change. And it's a challenging word for many of us, isn't it? This word change, you know, the old joke, how many Baptists does it take to change a light bulb? Remember that old joke? And the answer, of course, is change, like as if anything's ever going to change. Actually, the other answer is at least 15, one to change the light bulb, and then three committees to approve the change and decide who's going to bring the potato salad. It's actually just alarmingly close to the truth in some churches, believe you me. But when it comes to change, if we're honest, many of us would really rather things stay as they are, or at least not change too much or too quickly. We're unsettled by rapid change. And yet God is in the business of changing us, both individually and collectively, and as we've prayed this morning, forming us, forging us into his likeness. And I like this word metamorphosis that we've selected for this series. We've got a diagram on the screen that reflects another form of metamorphosis. It's a word that suggests a complete change of form. Look at that change. A complete change of form or substance. And it's a word we often associate with this transformation of a tadpole into a frog or a caterpillar into a butterfly. And those are just amazing transformations, aren't they? It's a change that's dramatic and magnificent, actually, in the world of God's creation. Well, metamorphosis is also a biblical word. It's straight out of the New Testament, a number of places actually, but it's right there in Romans 12, 2. I've always loved the J.B. Phillips version of this verse, which we'll put on the screen, that goes like this. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mould, but let God remould your minds from within. It's a remarkable thought. And of course, we had that wonderful imagery last week of Jeff Gomez with the potter's wheel at the front here. And we're able to see what happens with the clay in the hands of the potter. The New International Version, perhaps more familiar, says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that phrase, be transformed, is literally be metamorphosed. Undergo a metamorphosis. Allow God to do a work of change in your life, a change that, if you'll allow it, is dramatic and magnificent. And it's important to note that this metamorphosis is not something that we bring about in our own lives by our own efforts. You know, when Paul writes to the Corinthian church, he says, and again, we'll put it up on the screen here, brothers and sisters, think of what you were. And, you know, in my notes, I've underlined that top phrase, what you were. Think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God, and I've underlined that in my notes as well. What you were, there's what you were, but God. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. But God chose the lowly things of the world, the despised things, the things that are not, to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. And the very next verse says, it's because of him, it's because of God that you are in Christ Jesus. It's because of God. Because of him you are born again. Because of him the old is gone and the new has come. And so what that means is that you are not just a slightly improved version of your former self. Imagine a frog hopping about thinking, you know, since my metamorphosis, I reckon I'm a much better tadpole than I used to be. Or a butterfly flying around thinking, you know, since my metamorphosis, I'm going to try harder to be a better caterpillar. You think of that statement, you think, no, you're not a caterpillar anymore. You're not that. You are something new. God has made you something new. And the language of the scripture is, you were this, but God. You were this, but God has chosen you and he has recreated you to be something else. And so the metamorphosis is this: before you were apart from Christ, now you are in Christ. And so, says Paul in a number of places in the New Testament in different ways, and so because of this change that God has brought about, now therefore live your life worthy of the calling you've received. In Christ you are created anew. Now live a life that is consistent with that new creature that you are in Christ. The very nature of this metamorphosis too is that it's ongoing. And as we saw so clearly last week, our role in the metamorphosis process is not a passive role. Not at all. It's God's work. Yes, it's God's initiative. But we are absolutely involved in this metamorphosis process. We participate. As Simon said last week, the condition of the clay determines what the potter can do with the clay. And what he's saying is the active responsiveness of our hearts is vitally important as we willingly and intentionally respond to and cooperate with the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. And biblically speaking, faith is never a private matter between me and God that has no impact on my relationships with others. There's a couple of key verses in the scripture which, again, we'll put up on the screen. In Galatians 5, it says, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. It's not this private thing, oh, it's just something between me and God. No, faith expresses itself through love. Or in Romans 1, we see this phrase that talks about the obedience that comes from faith. In other words, if you truly believe, if you truly have faith, if sitting here this morning you would say, yes, I am a person of faith, if that's the case, then you will experience change in your life. You will experience change in your relationships as your faith expresses itself to others through love, as your faith causes you to obey God. It's a change in your life from what was before you knew God. In fact, I'd go so far as to say that if your faith doesn't dramatically affect the way you live your life, then it's very likely that you don't have faith. You may think you have faith, but if there's no change in your life, if the main real change is that you now attend a church service on a Sunday, you haven't experienced metamorphosis, you've become religious. Now that's a terrible thing. Through this series, over these next few weeks, we're going to work our way through Romans 12, take some time working through Romans 12, the latter part of Romans 12, answering the question, what does the Christian faith look like? It's outlined very clearly there. What does faith look like when it's lived out and put into practice? And so our reading today is Romans 12, just 1-8. And my focus today will just be these first two verses. And Jane McCarthy is going to read those eight verses for us this morning.
The reading is Romans 12, verses 1-8. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully.
Amen. Thank you, Jane. And so if you've got a Bible open in front of you on your lap, then these first two verses will be our focus this morning. And these first two verses describe, if you like, three metamorphic changes that we'll look at this morning. And these three changes are changes that God brings about, or we should expect that God will bring about and is bringing about in our lives as we follow him. And the first is a change from resisting to yielding. And this phrase, in view of God's mercy, it's an important phrase. And what it's saying is, because of what God has done, in light of the fact that God has shown me mercy that I don't deserve, he's shown me his compassion, he's shown me his unfailing love. In view of that, in view of God's mercy, therefore, I respond to him. And I respond, my response is to present myself to God as an act of worship. And this word present or offer, it says in some translations, it's actually the Greek word to yield. And because of God's mercy to me, I yield to him. I change. I am changed by him. And I change from being stubborn and hard and set in my ways to a state of heart that by recreated nature is soft. It's softened toward God and toward the things of God and toward the people of God. You know, a material that's described as yielding is a material that is pliable and moldable, which is why, you know, the clay is such a vivid word to use and so prominent in the scripture. It has some give, this yielding material. It has some flexibility. It's not hard like rock. It's yielding. In view of God's mercy, yield to him. Allow God to work into your life some softness of heart, some flexibility of character, some pliability, that he might work with you. And so Paul urges us to offer our bodies, to present our bodies with an openness to him, actually as living sacrifices. And the first century readers were very familiar, of course, with the whole sacrifice system. They'd stood by their altar and watched as an animal was brought in and slaughtered in the ritual way. I've often observed that animals generally sense danger, don't they? They know when trouble is coming their way and they instinctively resist. You think of an animal being brought to slaughter, or think of these animals. Have a look at this quick video here. Resisting. Well, I'm sure there was that kind of resistance at times when it came to bringing animals to the altar of sacrifice. These animals didn't want to have a bath. But animals don't want to be brought to the altar to be sacrificed. And that's because death actually is something to be resisted, isn't it? You know, as followers of Jesus, there's a death that is necessary. It's a death to self. A death to sin, a death to the ways of the world, which we'll come to in a moment, a death to law. And like animals being led to the altar of sacrifice, we instinctively resist that death that is necessary. But the call to follow Jesus is a call to willingly yield. To yield to that death, not to resist, but to do a remarkable thing and to climb onto the altar of sacrifice. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Submit to God. Yield to God, says James. Resist the devil. Resist temptation. When it comes to facing temptation, when it comes to any sort of evil, be like those dogs. Resist. Resist at all costs. But yield to God. Submit yourselves to God. I've got another clip for you, which is just a wonderful yielding clip. Here's what yielding looks like. That dog is completely yielded to the bathing process. The result of yielding is an extraordinary life lived with Christ. And one of our team, one of our preaching team, I can't remember who it was, but spoke of a man named D.L. Moody a few weeks ago. And the quote from D.L. Moody is, "The world has yet to see what God can do with a person fully yielded to him." What might God do with us as a people, as this number of people gathered, if together we yield to him completely? Well, this is the change that God is bringing to us. It's a wonderful thing. It's a second change, and that is a change from conforming to renewing. Verse 2 says, don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world. There's a whole pattern of life here in Australia that is widely accepted as the norm. There's a language that is widely considered to be acceptable. There are certain views and attitudes and philosophies that are often promoted by the media as being progressive and right and good. There are lifestyle choices that are now viewed as right and normal in this culture of rapid change that we live in. And many things that a few years ago would have been considered offensive are now deemed to be quite acceptable and even encouraged. And there are many things that a few years ago would have been considered right and honourable that are now, just a few years later, considered to be almost absurd. For example, you know, to move in and live with your girlfriend or live with your boyfriend under the same roof and sleep in the same bed is just considered completely fine, perfectly fine. Try before you buy. It just makes good common sense. Marriage might not be in mind at all. Might not even enter the thinking, might not even enter the equation. No, we're just going to just sleep with different people and just, you know, try before you buy, all of that kind of thing. But actually the idea that someone is still a virgin in their 20s, that is somehow culturally a little bit weird. I mean, goodness, what century do you live in? I mean, get with the times. What do you mean you're still a virgin? What do you mean you're saving yourself for marriage? What are you even talking about? Jesus says, "Wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it." Well, that road is the road of conformity to the pattern of this world. But Jesus continues on, doesn't he? And he says, "But small is the gate, and narrow is the road to life, and only a few find it." And those few who find it are transformed. They're metamorphosed by a renewing of the mind. What it looks like is this: I change from a pattern of conforming to a new pattern of renewing. It's a kingdom pattern. Outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. And so this renewing of mind means that there is an adjustment of your moral and spiritual vision and thinking to the mind of God, which has a transforming effect on your life. It's a word also used in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, we'll put on the screen. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal. There's a renewal by the Holy Spirit. There's a revival of God's power that's at work, bringing about the change, that change of heart, that renewal of mind. So this is a massive change from conforming to the standards of the pattern of this world, from being carried along in the flow of the stream of popular culture. That's a strong current, a wide river. You know, yesterday, Margie and I decided that we'd go up and visit Bell's Rapids. you know, up at the Swan River there, we thought, oh, it might be just a couple of other people there. Oh, my goodness, there's about 1,000 other people had the same idea. You know, if you've been up to Bell's Rapids up in the Swan Valley there, there's a bridge you can cross. The water was, like, so high. And there were, like, big branches just being washed down. There's this wide flow, just this absolute torrent of water flowing down the, what is it, the Avon or the, maybe it's the Swan by then, I'm not sure, whatever it is, that river. This, I'd never seen anything like it. An absolute raging torrent. And then there's this one crazy kayak guy. Comes paddling out from the side. Everyone on the bridge went like this. This crazy guy. He came right into the middle of, you know, the fiercest part of the river. And he faced himself into the current. And he's, you know, doing this one, into the current. And there's, you know, everything's just flowing against him. Actually, it ended badly for him. He ended up being upside down and, you know, being carried along. He came, like, I filmed it. Don't worry, I got it. He was okay. I thought, you know, that's the Christian life. The Christian life is being prepared to face the current. And you know what? You know, the world, the current of the world is flowing like this rapids in this direction. But I'm facing the Lord. And I'm being changed and I'm being renewed. I'm being refined as I face the Lord and keep my eyes on Him. There's a third change. It's a change from misunderstanding to discerning. You know, as we live our lives for the Lord, yielding to Him, being renewed day by day, it's important we learn to discern God's will and understand what God is doing in our day-to-day circumstances. The promise of this verse is that as we change from resisting to yielding in the presenting of our bodies as living sacrifices, willingly presenting ourselves, offering ourselves, and as we change from conforming to being transformed by the renewing of our minds, then we will be able to test and approve what God's will is. It's a wonderful promise, actually. Well, let's consider a really simple example from everyday life. Let's say I'm involved in a minor car accident where someone crashes into my car and causes some damage. How annoying is that? Like, no one's hurt or anything, but my car's damaged. How annoying. How frustrating. How inconvenient. And so how do I then process that experience? How do I understand it? Is it just one of those things that happens in day-to-day life? Well, maybe it is. Is there some kind of spiritual attack involved in that incident? Maybe there is. Is this inconvenience somehow a consequence of my own actions? You know, was I speeding or was I inattentive behind the wheel? Was I, you know, checking a sneaky text or something? Maybe some of those things were true. But the most important question is this. Is God somehow at work in the midst of that circumstance and these other circumstances of my everyday life? Is God somehow at work in the midst of that? And I would say resoundingly, yes, He is. Potentially in that situation in a whole host of ways. Ways that need to be discerned and understood. Maybe there's a kingdom connection or a kingdom conversation to be had with the other driver or with the crash repairer who I would not have otherwise been connected with. Or maybe God has delayed me in that little incident in order to save me from something else far more serious that I couldn't see. Or maybe God is wanting to build into my life some of those passive virtues that Simon spoke about last week. Things like patience and endurance and grace. Do I respond with grace in those circumstances? Is He wanting to build into my life some new level of maturity as I respond to this person who's crashed into my car with maturity and with the love of Jesus? But so often we miss all these things because we're so caught up in our own whirlwind of confusion and pain and inconvenience. And we throw up our hands in the air and say, oh, it's all so unfair. All these terrible things are happening to me. Oh, it's spiritual attack. Oh, it's terrible. It's unfair. Why do these things happen? Well, let me say, wherever there is inconvenience, or interpersonal conflict or struggle or pain in your life. God hasn't necessarily caused it, but you can be sure he's at work in the midst of it, usually wanting to bring about some growth and change in your heart and in your life. Very often, there's something God wants you to do that he will show you if you're listening. But you'll miss it if your eyes are on yourself. You'll miss it if you're not yielded to God. You'll miss it if you're just conforming to the pattern of this world. And it's often been said that the problem with living sacrifices is they keep getting up off the altar. What is your appetite for change? Do you want to change or do you want to stay the same? Lord, I pray that you would do this work of change in me, in my heart, in my mind, in my life. Lord, help me not to resist you, but to yield to the work of your Spirit in my life. Help me not to conform to the pattern of this world, but to undergo a metamorphosis by the ongoing renewing of my mind. And help me, Lord, to discern what you're doing in my life, in the midst of my pain, in the midst of inconvenient, troubling circumstances. Help me to test and approve what your will is, to understand the change that you're bringing about in my life. Help me, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. If you'd like to talk to someone about what you've heard today, then you can contact the team at Mount Pleasant Baptist Church by calling the office during office hours on 9329 1777. Thanks for joining us. We look forward to your company again soon. God bless.